you know, I've just got the usual level of pain. The usual level of pain should be zero.
And that's why people like us have jobs, because we have not just experienced it ourselves.
If I didn't injure my back so badly, I never would have taken mobility seriously.
You can't cheat experience. I think what really helped me kind of understand it was looking at pain as a language. It's your body's language.
Things are always workionable. Workionable. Wow. It's a real phrase. You just have to make sure that anything that feels funky, you get those signals. You listen to the signals. You don't go, ah, bad. Ignore that. Never happened. And that bad pain becomes so built up in your mind that even when you go to move, you anticipate pain, so you actually create the pain. But if you've snapped your arm and your radius is poking out, it's like you need to go to the hospital.
For sure.
But if you, like I said, if you've
had
periods...
Don't move through a snap radius.
Yeah, don't move through a snap radius. That's a doctor jobby. It's time to
stretch and stretch. Welcome to You Can Fix You, giving you mobility tips to build movement freedom and train with confidence.
Episode 6. What is bad pain? And what is good pain?
Oh. There we go. That's it.
isn't all pain bad, Tom?
No, all pain is not bad.
What?
Pain is a signal, and it is just a signal for something needs to change. So if you put that in like a hot, cold context, if you put your hand, say you're in the chippy, and you're waiting for your chips, and you put your hand on the counter and it's really, really hot, your body will start to create the sensations of like, too hot, it will hurt you, but like, ah, take your hand away.
Yep.
In our mobility and stretching kind of context, it's how far you can take a joint or a muscle to a position before you would maybe sense something as like, that's too far for me.
Yeah.
Or if you do happen to have an injury, a bad pain would be if it's in the joint. So whenever you're moving.
Yep.
So good pain from training would be like your type of DOM. So say you were doing like loads of bicep curls and your bicep was sore the next day. You were like, that's a good pain.
Totally
work
fine.
The biceps, going to get bigger, going to get awesome. If your elbow joint hurt or your shoulder joint hurt, then you're like, that's a bad pain. I don't want joint pain after training. I want my good pain. I have worked the muscle properly pain. So that's kind of what you're thinking about. If it's a joint or if it's stabby pain or if there's a pain that is recreated anytime you move something and it happens every time, that's a bad pain. It's something you need to get seen to by a physiotherapist or a physical therapist. And in some cases, if it was something very, very severe or there was like loss of range of motion, like you couldn't move the thing, that's a doctor jobby.
Yeah.
So that would be a bad, bad pain.
good
pain is that, you know, I have worked the muscle, I have made an improvement. And if you're able to see, especially if you're trying to make your flexibility better, if your squat has gotten deeper, but your muscles are like, oh, they're like, you know, I feel like I've been worked here, even though you were just stretching. It's like, that's a good pain. That means that you've made a new position and your muscles are like, what's going on?
Yeah. Yes. I think when you're starting out, pain just gets put in this bucket. It's like pain, bad, but I think what really helped me kind of understand it was looking at pain as a language. It's your body's language. Now, I know very little French. If I hear somebody speaking French, I know they're speaking French, but I don't understand it.
Sacre bleu.
That was French. but the issue is when you're starting out is that that was the bucket of French that you can't speak. Over time, you need to learn the vocabulary of what it means. So pain comes in like hot, tingly, numb, spicy.
Stabby.
achy. There's a whole different...
Oh, nerve.
Yeah.
That's the one that's... that's the worst thing. It's horrible.
Yeah. So there's all these different categories that you can fit into. And each one tells you something different about your body. Because your body is like, oh, something needs to change. I want to send a signal.
Yeah.
Which
but we don't speak brain.
We don't speak signals, right? Yeah, so we got to learn that. And that the only way you can really learn it is through experience. Like somebody can tell you, oh, such and such is this. Until you feel such and such, and then you go, oh, it's this. Now you've bridged that gap. And I think as unfortunate as it is, we learn more from our mistakes than we do our wins. So sometimes you can only learn these things after you've had a little whoopsie.
Yeah. And that's where the have a wiggle concept comes in of how, like, how intense is it? Mm. So if you're starting to move, so say it's your knee, mm-hmm. One of the things I really like is the clockwork hips drill, yep. because you're able to lift your own leg if you need to and hold on to everything around you and just move the knee around and be like, right, does it hurt if I bend it? Does it hurt if I lean into it a little? Does it hurt if I move from side to side? Is there a point exploring the position? Yeah, is there a point where it catches and it's like, oh, yeah. I've found something funky? And like, don't be like, oh, it's definitely bad. Just be like, right, okay. A little bit funky there. What happens if I do that back and forth a couple of times? Has it changed?
Yep.
And if you can get to a point where you start to realize that if you're able to actually relax your nervous system and not freak out, you'll probably find a lot of things that you would maybe catastrophize in the past. You're actually like, oh, it's fine. I just need to wiggle that out.
Yeah.
And the more you find that you move, if that sensation, the signal you're getting starts to go down and goes away, then it's like, that's okay. I can move through that. What you would seemingly think is a bad pain, but if you're able to change it through movement, then it's just a reaction. It's just your body going, I'm not sure about this. I had a bit of an owie. So if you do your mobility stuff and it eases off, then you kind of know maybe in your training session later on, if you're training, don't go as hard as you wanted to, you know? So you're kind of like, oh, I'll still be a bit cautious with that. Even though it feels fine, I'll still be a bit cautious with that because I got a signal earlier to be a bit careful.
Yeah. And that's like, there's so many ways you can change the thing to work around it. You can experiment with load. Sometimes you only feel the signals after a certain load, at which point, you know, you can decrease the load and see, can you then at that lighter load move in different ways? Can you try and engage certain parts or evolve your movement so that when you do add more weight then in time, it doesn't become sore again.
Mm-hmm.
Equally with your, like you're in your 90-90 say, a lot of people would find they get pain in their knee when they do that. But actually, is it the 90-90 or is it the speed at which you moved into the 90-90 and then your body had an equal reaction to resist it? If you eased into it, took a few deep breaths, maybe you lean back a little bit, maybe you lean forward a little bit, maybe you turn your toe out, maybe you turn your toe in. Like all these different elements can be played with. And so...
And the signal was, hey, slow down.
Yeah,
don't go so fast.
Just slow down. Give me a minute. Exactly. Yeah. Take a second. All right, figure it out. We can do this. And it's just, try and ask the question, how many ways can I move this before, rather than just saying, no, I can't do that. It's not for me. It's like, well, maybe that one version that you tried isn't for you. What about the 100 other that you didn't try?
Mm. And that's the thing. If for some people, if you get a bad pain and you take that as, oh, that's a bad pain, I better not move that. And you become scared to move it and you don't address that bad pain. And if you think, I'll just rest it. And then you try to then move and say a few days time and that pain is still there. Yeah. You're like, oh, it's not getting better. I have a bad knee. I have a bad whatever.
Yeah.
And that bad pain becomes so built up in your mind that even when you go to move, you anticipate pain. Yeah. So you actually create the pain. Mm-hmm. So it is so important to remember that you're not going to cause more damage from doing body weight, stretching and moving. It's really important for you to actually restore the function to something if it does feel funky in any way, not to avoid it. Because as soon as you start avoiding things, you start avoiding more things. Like, oh, it hurts when I bend my knee like this, 2 weeks' time. Oh, it also hurts when I move it like this now, 2 weeks' time. Oh, it hurts when I sit down and don't even move it now.
Yeah.
That's what starts to happen if you don't address those things. Mm. And if you get to that point with a bad pain that you can't figure it out through wiggling, you must get it seen to. There will be someone that can help you out.
Yep.
And worst case scenario, if you had tore a bit of meniscus or done something, you can get that fixed then.
Yeah.
And then you start your wiggling then and you restore the range of motion again.
Yeah.
So that things are always workionable.
Workionable.
Wow. It's a real phrase. You just have to make sure that anything that feels funky, you get those signals. You listen to the signals. You don't go, ah, bad. Ignore that. Never happened.
Yeah.
It's the worst thing to do.
And it's that like Chinese water torture where it's just the one spot that's constantly getting hit all the time. And it becomes worse and worse and worse. But what if somebody gets a pain and it's like, oh, it's my elbow sore today. And the next day, oh, my shoulder sore today. Oh, but my hip's sore the next day. Like if a pain is moving around the body, like is that different? Is that the same? Or
that's your body wanting to be in unison together. So you need to do more full body stuff and things in more alignment, especially as well as why I designed SMM the way I did was like, you know, if you do have an ache in your hip or whatever and it bounces between your hip, your knee and your lower back, then there's probably multiple things that you need to work on with the hips, especially like how many different motions you can do with the hips. So you want to work on all the joints in all the ways they can move.
Yep.
And then you'll happily by accident catch whatever muscle or muscles it is. You know, and then what I've found over time, the more I focused on full joint function with people, the luckier I've got with helping them, is because we didn't leave anything out then. Whereas if you go, it's definitely one muscle I need to fix, and you just do one stretch for that one muscle, and it feels a little bit better at the time.
Definitely your hamstrings.
And you feel definitely the hamstrings. Yeah, definitely.
It's always the hamstrings.
If you feel like the thing that you're doing helps the pain go away temporarily, you start to believe, oh, well, it is definitely the hamstrings. Then you can confirm that. And you could have the worst hip rotation in the world.
100%.
And not even know. So it's so important to check everything. And to even look for more little bad pains.
Yeah.
It's like, if it hurts when I move like this, is there anything else that hurts when I move?
Yeah, what's linked to that one spot? Yeah, for sure.
And that's, if things are bouncing around, you've a lot of work to do. You've probably multiple things to work on.
Yeah.
So a lot of people think that they just have one problem area, but like it almost sounds worse that we're saying, no, you've way more problems than one, you know. But it's like, no. But that's if you come at it as a full body approach, you'll catch whatever three or four it may be, rather than getting stuck with one and not knowing and completely missing the other three.
And the other part of that as well is, if you are coming in and you do have multiple pain points, it's almost like, oh yes, I have so much more to gain. If I can get rid of those, how much better will every part of my life be? What we find with people coming into the group who are starting the program, whether they have a multitude of pains or just one specific one that they're trying to work on, if they haven't trained before, they go through this period where they're a little bit sore after their sessions. That's normal. That's okay.
Yeah. That's beginner DOMS.
DOMS. Yeah. Delayed onset muscle soreness or stiffness. It's basically like this, like muscle ache. Again, we'll use the bicep because it's an easy one to picture. The front of your arm, like the muscle just feels stiff when you go to move it. It's like, it's not a warmed up elastic band.
And that's the good pain.
Yeah.
And if you move it around a little bit, that should just go away. And you'd be like, oh, it just feels like normal again.
Exactly. Once you start moving, it dies down. Part of working muscles and working your tissue in general is that you have to damage it to make it stronger.
Yeah.
If you don't get enough stimulus, i.e. enough damage, it won't heal back stronger. But if you do too much, then yeah, it becomes a problem. So especially when you're starting out, it can seem overwhelming because you want to create some pain, DOMS, but not so much that it sets you back for multiple days.
Yeah. If you're having to recover for 3 or 4 days afterwards and not able to move at all, then it's too much. So, so for some people, it just needs to be like a little bit of back and forth, a little bit of a wiggle and just build on that, and then eventually be able to tolerate more. I think one good thing to cover would be like, what are some common things that you see with people that have a lot of pain? So nobody understands pain. The more people that you ask and the higher up you go, you get to a point where people are just like, I don't know. Yeah. I've been studying this for 20 years and I still don't know. So this is our evaluation of what we see with people having pain.
Yep.
For me, it's not having full joint range of motion. So they're compensating as they move. Things are feeling like they're being pinched or nipped. You've got impingement sensations. You have, you know, it's just, it feels like it's grinding.
Yep.
It feels nippy, feels sore. And that's from the joints not moving properly. So like, if you've got that going on your hips, your shoulders, if they're not able to rotate and move fully, you can get those nippy sensations. And if you do try and exercise, you can get deep joint pain as well. And it's important to note that as you do start to improve your flexibility, you might get something that I call joint DOMS. So like JOMS.
JOMS. Already here first.
So yes. So if you take, so like I did with my hip, it was so bad with external rotation. As that started to improve, I 100% thought I had arthritis in my hip. It was so painful, but it moved better.
Yep.
And then a few months after that, the pain went away completely.
Because it's such a new sensation for
you. Yeah. So like, you were changing how the joint moved. It wasn't just muscles anymore. It changed how the joint was actually able to move.
Yeah.
So it's really important to kind of remember that limited range of motion can cause you to have those sensations. So improving your range of motion could be the best thing for you.
Yeah.
And the other thing is a lack of stability. So someone who's very flexible, if a joint doesn't feel safe and it's wibbly wobbling around, you can get nippy sensations. Again, even though the range of motion is there, if the stability is not there, you can get those same impingement sensations. And that's when it starts to get a bit weird. You're working with someone and you're like, your squat looks fine.
Yeah.
Your overhead press is fine. There's no limits here. What's wrong?
Yeah.
But it's like if you test the stability element, it's like, hey, can you just set your arm on the ground and walk around on a plank and on one arm? Are you able to hold yourself up like that?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, all of a sudden, no. And it's like, hello, side plank march. Are you able to hold yourself up? Yeah. And what you'll start to see with a lot of people that are missing stability that have great flexibility, mm. they still get the same pains as if they had the limited flexibility.
For sure. So, there's just that one piece has been missing.
Yeah.
And that you need multiple different pieces for the puzzle to kind of be complete.
Mm-hmm. And that's some people can have limited bits in some bits of their body, mm. limited stability in other bits of their body. And yeah. that's where you get these bouncing pains. And that's mm. why it's so important to work on both. And that's yeah. why that's what I just switched to. You know what? You need to do mobility exercises that incorporate full joint movement yep. with stability at the same time. It's just a better way to start to do
yeah.
things. Then eventually you can go do your splits or whatever. You can do the more advanced yep. fancy stuff because you'll be able to tolerate more.
Mm.
So like moving into the next point, how do you know what to push into and what to hold back on?
Well, if you're new, it's super hard, not gonna lie. And that's why people like us have jobs, because we have not just experienced it ourselves, but also seen how other people work their way through it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't cheat experience. You have solved tens of thousands of problems effectively by seeing tens of thousands of people use it. And so it becomes much simpler for you to see how the puzzle pieces fit together. Whereas if you're new, you kind of got to play around with it a little bit, you know, have a wiggle, see what it feels like. And also I find it helpful if you physically say what you're feeling, like you,
ow,
yeah, yeah. Like you've already described, like, it's stabby. Stabby's probably not great. It's like, oh, it's kind of like a dull, like just feels a wee bit stiff.
Mm-hmm.
Probably
that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. So look at the language that you use if you really try to pinpoint what it is, and that will get you part of the way there, I think, mm-hmm. to start. What else, Tom?
You know, like stop, especially if you're new, stop sooner than you want to.
Ooh,
so be
yeah.
like, I'm going to try this out a little bit
yep.
and almost finish being like, I don't feel like I did much. And then
yes.
again, the next day,
love that.
I'll try and push this a wee bit further. So especially for me, when I first started, like if I tried to go into a deep, deep, deep like couch stretch or hamstring mm. stretch, I felt like I tore something. I was like, oh, I've ripped my knee. I'm done for. I'll never be able to do it again. So the signal there was yeah. that was too much. I can't cope with that yet.
Yep.
So I needed to be gentle. So I needed, unfortunately, I did push it too far. Yep. So I needed to rest it for a while. So I had to back off completely.
Mm.
But then whenever I got back to it, it was like, okay, I'm not going to go as far this time.
Yep.
Whereas now, not even now, like a few months later, mm. I was able to jump into that same stretch,
yep.
really push my hips way, way, way more and stretch yep. things even more.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to tolerate it then because my brain now knew, oh, this is safe. This is something he does.
Yep.
That's okay. Whereas if you are really, really inflexible, the first time mm. you start trying to do these things, your brain puts the brakes on big time
yeah.
and you start to feel like you've tore or ripped things, you know, and you can end up having this really deep muscle pain for mm. weeks before it goes away. And it can really put you off, but it's just that, you know, knowing that you did just push that too far and noting that down and being like, right, how far exactly did I push?
Yeah.
So, you know, next time that you're going to stop shy of that
yep.
and make sure that you're able to move around. And again, that's why like long passive isometric mm. stretches, like immediately if you're a beginner, aren't great to jump into.
Oh, it's like you're trying to pull your skin off.
Yeah, it's just too much. So that's why I quite like dynamic moving things.
Yep.
And like even just using a partial range of motion temporarily mm. and getting used to that first. And then when you start to bring them further
yep.
and start to stretch the muscles out then mm-hmm. within the movement, it's then you're able to then tolerate, okay, let's do a 2-minute hold here. You're able to yeah. actually do that now and you're not going to be like, trying to get back up afterwards.
Yeah, definitely. It's that dipping the toe in the water. I love that dynamic thing for beginners where you're, you know, pushing into it, come out, pushing into it, come out.
Slowly.
Yeah. Maximum speed.
There's ballistic stretching as well, which yeah. is bounce, bounce, bounce. You need to have a lot of experience yeah. to be bouncing in the stretches.
Yeah.
But it's not people just go, it's dangerous. And it's like, well, yeah, it's dangerous if you haven't built any foundation yeah. to be able to do it. Anything's dangerous if you haven't built a foundation for it.
Yeah.
So it's not that it's bad, it's that you can't cope with it. So you're the problem.
Sneezing with a stiff back, that's dangerous. Yeah, and I think it is important to be able to feel something the next day. Like a really intense stretching session is equivalent to doing a really intense strength session.
Mm-hmm.
Like your body still needs to recover because, like we talked about, you need to damage your body a little bit in a good way, the right way.
Load tolerance.
Yeah, load tolerance. But that comes from experience. of knowing and trying a little bit. Try a little bit more. Oh, that was maybe too much. Let's do the little bit again. Let's do the little bit. Try a little bit more. Oh, it was okay this time. And then you build it up that way.
Mm-hmm. One of the funniest things I went through was I did a squat program for a long time, and it was literally squat every day. I was doing overhead squat one day. I was doing front squat the next day, back squat the next day, back into overhead squats.
Oh, it's good that you had variety there, Tom.
Yeah, three different types of squats. I was doing them like all the time, and I lost DOMS. I couldn't get leg soreness. I was up in the reps and everything, and I was like, why do I not feel sore anymore? And it's because my body was able to adapt to it. Yeah. Eventually, the first week was horrible, but after that, I was like, oh, I feel fine. And I actually was getting frustrated. I was like, I want my legs to feel sore. I'm getting annoyed here. You know, but even though my numbers were increasing, because I was so used to it, because I was sticking to the program, it was like I lost the DOMS. Like your level of tolerance will increase the more things that you do. Yep. And if you start to do something regularly, your body just adapts to it and is able to then go into autopilot mode. It's like people that have really intensive manual labor type jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Like if me or you went in to try and do one of their jobs tomorrow, busted. We'd be wrecked. Wouldn't
totally
be able to walk
busted.
For four days. Yeah. Like just lifting bags of coal and stuff, like lifting awkward objects, having to carry them in weird ways. We'd be like, oh, I'm exhausted. You know, even though we can lift things and do other things, it's just not within our wheelhouse because we don't do it often enough. Whereas that same person that's just been doing that for 10 years or whatever, they're like, don't think anything of it.
It no longer gives them a stimulus.
Yeah, which is really frustrating because then they don't lose the weight.
I know, but this is it. It's like, just because, there's so many rabbit holes you can go down there.
Oh, yeah.
But it's part of the reason for, you want to stick with a program long enough to see change, but past a certain point, you need to adapt it somehow, whether it's, you know, adding in some tempo, adding in some load, changing some of the variables to see if you can continue to challenge your body, not in a way that's like, I'm bored now, I want to do something different. Mm-hmm. It's just, no, I've milked, I've literally gotten all the water out of this tile. I've wrung it as hard as I can. And now what's the next thing to do?
Mm-hmm. I think another thing, I'm going on loads of tangents today. I need my tangent tokens.
One day, Tom, one day.
There's a weird gray area with disc injuries.
What?
So for me, a bad pain, that nerve pain I was talking about, something like the worst pain imaginable that really, really catches you and you feel like you shouldn't be moving.
Mm.
In some cases, now I'm not advising that you do this, but this is something that I did and have helped others do as well, is to actually move through that anyway.
Mm.
And that bad pain, if you've had on and off back problems for years because of a disc injury, you need to learn how to shut that down. You can't avoid things. Yeah. You want to actually move and be like, no, I'm not stopping movement. You need to relax. You need to teach your body to chill out. So you actually do need to move through that one. So in some cases, even a bad pain makes you not want to do anything. You actually do need to move through that if it's something like that. So it's obviously if you've snapped your arm and your radius is poking out, it's like you need to go to the hospital.
For sure.
But if you, like I said, if you've
had
periods...
Don't move through a snap radius.
Yeah, don't move through a snap radius. But if you've had periods of on-off back pain and it's the same disc injury that hasn't changed and you haven't done anything silly to make it worse and you get a flare-up and you get that really intense bad pain, you need to learn how to move through that, learn how to relax yourself. And the more you practice that, the better you get at easing that off. So you can take yourself from being someone who'd be wiped out for a week or 2 weeks with a back flare up to like a couple of days. And you're like, oh, no, I just feel stiff and I'm back to normal again. It's taking away that fear is really important as well. So what would be your, so for me, it's the lower back is my worst ever bad pain. Oh. What was your worst ever bad pain?
Oh, jeekers. I've had a couple. The one that I had the most intervention on was my shoulder. So when I was a teenager, I got into rowing. Rowing, there's two types. You've got sculling, where you've got an oar in each hand. It's quite even. Or you've got sweep, where you've got one oar in one hand and you rotate out to the side of the boat. It's generally advised that below 16, you shouldn't learn on sweep. So I learned on sweep because that's what we all did. Massive heavy boats, great. And just when you're learning something new, you tend to be a little bit tenser. You try to exaggerate what your coach says, like, sit as tall as you can, all this kind of stuff. And I ended up with this shoulder, like just this awful shoulder. Went to physio, it was a rotator cuff, did all the like banded rotation-y things. Didn't do anything. ended up getting a cortisone injection on it about a year and a half later. So I went through two full seasons just in agony every session. And the cortisone injection took away the pain, didn't solve the problem. And it was only about 7 or 8 years later, I really started to dig into, oh, it's range of motion, it's stability, it's all that kind of stuff. And I wish, in some ways, I wish I knew then what I know now. But in other ways, if I did, I probably wouldn't be where I am now. So I'm really grateful to have had the pains that I've had.
Yeah, and that's the same with my back injury as well. Yeah. If I didn't injure my back so badly, I never would have taken mobility seriously. I never would have found out how bad my hips were.
It's crazy.
And I never would have found out how bad my shoulders and stuff were as well. Like off the back of that, I'd be a completely different person now if that hadn't happened, because I was never bad enough to care enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big problem, I think, that it's not until you do get a bad pain that you do anything about it. You know, people just mull on. It's like, you know, I've just got the usual level of pain. The usual level of pain should be zero. It shouldn't be a four or five.
It's crazy because if we think about scale, so Tom there has used the example of a disc injury. Like one of the most, it's very common, but it's also very debilitating. If we scale that way back down, so it's not a life-changing experience. It's like, I'm pretty tired every day. I'm just tired all the time. Do you exercise? No, I'm too tired. If you exercise a little bit, you'd probably be less tired. But it's like the pain point wasn't big enough for them to start the thing they needed to fix it.
Yeah.
And I don't know a fix for that. I don't know how you can like artificially scale it up in your head. It's like, this is a life emergency, I need to do the thing.
Yeah.
If I could figure that out, we could probably do pretty well. But,
all you can do is keep pestering people. So I used to say to people, you can't force people to change or whatever, but I always now would say like, no, just keep poking them, keep saying you could be different, you can make a change, you absolutely can.
Invite them as like, why don't you come along with me to this thing?
Yeah.
Why don't you do this thing with me? Like, oh, let's meet up for dinner. Oh, surprise. We're doing the thing you need to do.
And that was the funniest thing of like, you know, whenever your kids is like, hey, do you want to meet up and skateboard? Do you want to meet up and go on our bikes? Yeah. Do you want to meet up and pretend we're Power Rangers? You know, when you get to an adult, it's like, you know, it was such a weird thing. Like me and Jenny would be like, you know, hey, do you want to meet up and just do handstands? You know, go and do stuff with your friends. Like it's another, you don't have to just go for coffee or just go for meals. It's like, hey, do you want to come around to the house and we'll just do a bit of stretching together or something? You know, do you want to do something?
Yeah.
You know, so all those things are always there. So never forget that. You can always encourage others.
Last story on that. So my wife and I just moved house relatively recently. We've been doing up the garage so that we can work out in it. Pretty cool. And last night we had our first workout there together. We were doing two different workouts. I was doing my thing. She was doing her thing. And afterwards she turned around to me and said, at one point I nearly cried because we were both like hanging out together. Doing your own thing.
Yeah.
It was lovely.
It's awesome.
And it's like, it's so much, like we could have watched a TV show and we wouldn't have had that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool.
Yeah. I love that. Awesome.
So our win is from Lisa. Tom, can you tell us about Lisa?
Oh, yes. Lisa. So, hello. I'm 3 weeks into the program and I just want to post my first gain and question. First off, I started the program right before we left on a vacation in our motorhome vacation.
Is she American?
She is now.
Okay, Tom.
I have a mixed accent. I don't know where it comes from.
Whenever infomercial Tom comes out, he's part American, part Australian, part British.
That's why I don't read things. I had to make one extra regression to fit, but I managed 3 SMM workouts on board that thing while on vacation.
Wow.
I'm so proud of myself for sticking with it. I'm already seeing my first few gains, one being that my posture is improving and I'm feeling stronger. Love it.
Awesome.
Each time going through SMM, it feels a tad better in different areas. I also have my kids joining me, which makes it much more fun to have company.
Well, so
getting the kids involved as well.
She's in a motorhome. Mm-hmm. So like our equivalent is the Northern Irish holiday to a
caravan.
Yeah. Not known for having a lot of space.
You don't need a lot of space.
To see improvement in that, you know, short space of time in a short, literally a short space, that's awesome.
My question is, there's more, is about low back pain when bending over.
Okay.
Should my hamstrings always engage when I bend forward? This is a good one. I kind of want to address this in a little couple of separate parts. Like, muscles don't need to be engaged all the time when you're moving. You shouldn't need to maximally brace or tense things.
Need to like squeeze like you're posing for a photo all the time?
No, you need to be chilled and relaxed. So yeah, there's different levels. It's like, yeah, if you're picking up something heavy, yeah, you might want to engage some muscles. But just moving day to day, you don't want to be thinking, oh, I wonder if my hamstrings are on. I wonder if this and that's on. Everything is on. Everything is always on to the extent that it needs to be. There's nothing overpowering anything or whatever.
Yep.
So it's really important to keep that in mind, that you're not trying to walk around with perfect posture. Because like, if you're watching this right now, you'll see that we're sitting quite round backed, chilled out. But we do stuff that completely offsets that through opening up our thoracic and doing all that stuff. So it's really important not to be thinking muscles need to be on all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, I often experience a strong pain on my lower left side when I bend over to pick something up or bathe the doggos. Ooh, doggos.
Love some doggos.
Am I bending wrong? No, there's no such thing as bending wrong either. But when going through my single leg deadlifts, I really have to concentrate to get my hamstrings to fire. And if I don't slow down and think about it, I get that intense back pain again. So what we're missing here, this is a really important thing. If you're doing all the right things, I feel like you're doing all the right things, is that sometimes you might not be engaging in a way that shows your body how to be strong in certain positions. So yes, when you're doing a single leg deadlift, you should be aiming to feel your hamstrings on.
Yes.
It's a hinge movement. And if you really struggle to make that connection and show your body how to load your hips when you bend, if that's not there, then yes, you can get back pain when you try and bend normally because your body doesn't have that flip side. Yeah. It doesn't know how to be braced and be strong and how to relax and round. So if all you know what to do is how to relax and round and you don't know how to get strong and load, that's the missing thing. So it doesn't mean you need to keep your back straight when you lift something.
Yeah.
It means you need to learn how to keep your back straight when you lift something as well.
Yeah.
Then you don't have to do it all the time.
So what you're saying, Tom, is if you don't know how to turn a light on by using the switch, the room is always going to be dark.
Yes.
But if you know how to turn the light switch on, sometimes it can be bright if you need it to be.
Yes.
Wow.
That was a really good analogy. I like that. So yeah, it's just something to keep in mind with some people, that it appears your range of motion is okay, but you're still getting these bad pains. It's like, maybe it's to do with your overall engagement. And again, bringing it back to what we were talking about before in a previous podcast of learning how to lift weights properly. That's so beneficial for you. Mm-hmm. When your body knows how to go and feel strong, it's able to actually relax more. Through you learning how to get more tension and make things stiffer, your muscles know the comparison to be able to actually relax rather than keeping this low level of tension all the time because it doesn't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Whereas if it knows that you're able to pick up something stupid heavy, then it's going to look at a basket of washing or something like that and be like, oh, that's not too bad. I don't need to freak out. And you're going to have that level of confidence then.
I don't need to fire everything at 100% to pick up a sock.
Yeah, yeah.
I can do 1%.
Yeah, and some people, like I was stuck in that. I believed that, 100% believed that. Must brace, must keep back straight when I bend. Don't ever round your back. It's like, no, you can do it, but you just, you need to know the flip sides. You need to have both.
That's a great win from Lisa, and really cool that she did it on vacation as well.
Yeah, and that's a really hard thing to do.
Yeah.
Just keep on moving whenever you're on holiday. Like, well done.
Awesome.
Love it.
Ciao.
Wow, that was incredible. I enjoyed that podcast, and I hope you did too. If you'd like to find out more, head over to tommorrison.uk.